Grace and peace to you from the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who reveals himself to us in his word, that we may know him. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who would have us live and work to his glory, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. It won't be too long before the presidential candidates and their running mates square off in presidential and public debates. I'm not bringing the matter up to get you thinking about the issues or to figure out for yourself for whom you will vote. I want you to consider that the reason that these debates take place is that people often complain that politicians don't truly address their specific concerns and their perceived problems. And so the debates are held to gain votes. They're an opportunity for each blowhard to argue that they know what's best for our country, to solve the perceived needs of Americans. In the end, we may feel that it's debatable whether or not any politician truly understands our needs. There are those who say similar things about God and his word. They say, the Bible's nice and all, but it doesn't really speak to my personal problems. Sure, it talks about events that are now more than 2,000 years past, but what about today? What about the 21st century? What about the things I face today and day after day? Where does the Bible give practical advice about things that are of use to me day to day? Of course, as Christians, we know that God does speak in his word to every part of life. This morning, our Heavenly Father speaks to us about living with work. It is indeed a blessing to hear the words of the living God, so we pray, sanctify us by the truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. In all labor, there is profit, literally, abundance. I apologize for reminding you about it to begin with, but each year when I see the first snow flurries, I think about my childhood here in Marquette. In those days, when summer first began, it was long and it was empty, and my brother Seth and I wondered just what we would do with ourselves all day long. It wasn't long before we found that we could be very busy. In fact, so busy that when our parents asked us to stop and clean our room, we were simply too busy. Our social calendar was full. On one such occasion, we paused just enough to push the pile of clothes and toys under the bed and head outside. "Is your room clean?" Mom asked as we slipped by without making eye contact. "Yep." We had made the foolish assumption that they just peek in the room and investigate no further. We figured that they would assume that we had overnight become amazingly efficient cleaners. We didn't make it across the yard before we were called back to clean our room. While pointing at the mess under the bed, I believe it was my father who said, "Do the job right the first time." Those words are, in a sense, echoed here in Proverbs chapter 14. The Hebrew here might well be translated, "In all difficult labor there is abundance." This is not merely a quaint saying to be borne out by our personal experience. God himself speaks to us through Solomon. If a person works earnestly and honestly, there will be abundant results. God will bless him or her. Hard work is not, contrary to current idea, a curse. but a blessing, both physically and mentally. Through hard work, we exercise our bodies and our minds, and we stay healthy. Through hard work, we get a better sense also of the value and can better appreciate the things that our God has given to us. Through hard work, we earn wages, which we in turn use to support the Lord's work, ourselves and our families, those in need, and yes, even pay our taxes. We don't complain when speeding across the lake in the new boat, or shooting the new gun, or driving the new car. But it is awfully easy to complain when working to earn the money to buy those things. In all labor, there is profit. In fact, in the Old Testament, we're told that it's a gift of God to work, to be able to labor. It seems as though this truth is lost on our society at large today. It's evident more and more that the attitude seems to be, whatever I can get without working for it, I should. In many cases, those who are able to work refuse to do so and are satisfied simply to live off others. Rather than use the gift and the health and the ability that God gives them and look to work, they ask, why should I work when I can get all that I need without working for nothing? Instead of asking, what do I need? People have begun to ask, what do I qualify for? Why should we work? Why can't we just stay home and live off our parents like the middle-aged man in the Holiday Inn Express commercial? First of all, our Lord gives us this direction. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Okay, fine, I'll go to work, but I don't have to like it. After all, the Bible doesn't tell me that I should have a good attitude about my work. It's just a necessary evil. I'll just do what I have to get by. Do enough to get paid. I don't have to do the best that I can all the time. Or do I? Does it really matter? What if people see that I don't do my best? What if people hear me complain about my boss? I suppose it really wouldn't matter that much if we were only doing damage to our own reputation. But as followers of Jesus, as Christians, our words and our actions don't only speak about us, but also our relationship with Him. And the Lord does, in fact, have something to say about our attitude toward work, too. He says in Colossians, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. That's right, the Lord does have something to say about our attitude toward work. When we work, whatever we put our hand to, we should do the best that we can. Not merely because other people are watching, but because we know our Savior is watching. How would you work if Jesus were visibly standing there looking over your shoulder at your desk, in the barn, welding in the shop? Would you cut corners? Would you do a shoddy job, knowing now that the Lord sees all things? Shouldn't we always do our best out of thanks for what He has given to us, gifts and abilities? The Bible says that even when we work at our jobs, we serve the Lord Christ. We're not merely working for family, for ourselves, or for other people. And that's why we should always set out to do our best. no matter what we set our hand to. But we don't do it in an effort to pay the Lord back for all that he has given to us, but to show him our thanks for those gifts. It's been said, do it right or don't do it at all. We pray that the Lord would lead us to do our best in every circumstance, knowing that we stand before him and work for him. But if we don't work, if we don't do our best, perhaps we should remember the second half of this proverb. But idle chatter, literally the way of the lips, leads only to need. I find it amazing, but there are some people who actually think that their words and actions only affect them. Well, I work hard most of the time. When I don't do my best, I don't hurt anyone but me. Is that true? No. When you don't work hard, you don't only hurt yourself, but you also hurt the person who hired you. When you were hired, you struck an agreement with your employer. In return for your work, the company agreed you to pay a certain wage. If you don't work, or if you don't work as hard as you can and still take home the same paycheck, aren't you taking what you didn't earn? What do we call it when we take something that we did not earn that's not rightfully ours? We call it stealing. We might imagine that thou shalt not steal applies only to car thieves and bank robbers, but when we're lazy and don't do our best at work, then we do in fact steal. That applies to me too, working in my office, working on sermons and things to feed you. We've all fallen short in this way. We have to admit that we don't deserve the things that we've been given by our gracious God. But the good news is that for all the times when we've sinned in this way, Jesus never did. Though we've not always worked hard, Jesus always did. And when it came to our salvation, he didn't ever cut corners. He went all the way so that our sins might be forgiven. Jesus so loved you that he paid in full the price for your laziness and for mine, for your shortcuts and for mine. He paid the price with his own blood. And on top of that, he gives to each of us the strength to rise each day to labor for him, for ourselves, and for our family. The Lord gives us the strength also to labor in his kingdom by speaking of our Savior Jesus with everyone with whom we come in contact. You know, God could have simply given us all that we have without work. The Lord tried that once with the children of Israel. You remember how God provided them bread from heaven? Freely, without cost. They didn't have to work for it all. All they had to do was go out every morning and gather it up and eat it. And what happened? They became dissatisfied. They complained. They grumbled. There is profit in all labor. The same Lord provides for our needs, but not by miraculously providing us bread from heaven. Instead, he gives us the strength to work for the things that we have so that we may see their value and appreciate all that we have been given. And while our earthly bread is not free of charge, God did provide us the bread of life free of charge. He didn't ask us to provide our own salvation or our own way to heaven, which we could never do. But he provided it by grace to us through faith in Jesus Christ. It's free, but that doesn't mean it was cheap. It was costly. It cost the Father his only Son. It cost Jesus his own blood. It cost everything. This, his work, though, was a labor of love. So may he move us to labor in all things for him, to show our thanks for his great love. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.